You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone out there. This is Lisa Richardson, and I'm from Center Theatre Group in Los Angeles, and we are here today on the Broadway Podcast Network to talk with the two maestros of the musical, none other than Casey Nicola and Bob Martin. So welcome to you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For speaking with us this morning. And just so my fellow musical theater fans are aware of who I am speaking to, in case you are not aware, though I am sure you are, just from the names alone.
How is that even possible?
You know, people are on these streets and they don't know what's going on. So I'm just going to give a brief background, just a few credits. Casey, people may know you from Spamalot, Book of Mormon, Aladdin, Something Rotten, Tuck Everlasting, and Mean Girls. And Bob, folks may know you from Elf the Musical, Halftime, and The Sting. And you both have a long history with Center Theatre Group, with two world premieres that happened with us, both The Drowsy Chaperone in 2006, which Bob also starred in, and Minsky's in 2009. Today, I'd love to do a deep dive with both of you on your recent collaboration, The Prom, which is in performances at Center Theatre Group from August 9th through September 11th, 2022. My first question to you both is, how did The Prom come about?
Well, I mean, it sort of started that Jack Fertel, who I'd worked with a bunch of times at Encores, called me up and said, I have this crazy idea for a musical, and sort of said, you know, what if, you know, just there were these different stories in the headlines about, you know, gay and lesbian students who couldn't go to their proms. And he said, what if Broadway performers went down to make things better and made it worse? And I was like, great. And he goes, and what about Bob, Matt, and Chad? And I said, well, done. And then we started talking about it, and it just happened, and we laughed a lot, and we just, you know, it's like the best way to create a show, to sit there and go, what should we do next? And what should the characters be? And we got along famously, you know, as we all expected, and as we did before on Elf. And it just sort of started from there.
Yeah, we jumped right in. We thought it was a really solid comic premise and an opportunity for us to say something important. And you know, we began the process. We outlined the show very quickly, actually, and we stuck fairly closely to the original outline in the end. And the great thing about Casey is that Casey works with us right from day one, so we're really developing the show together, always with the director's eye, and he's a great dramaturge as well, and so we're really forming the show as a group. Our aim in the beginning was really to get this show into high schools, and it's, you know, been a long road, but a fairly smooth road for us actually with this show.
Absolutely. It took time, and it was actually funny because, you know, we went through different presidents and stuff, and so we had to keep sort of changing things depending on the temperature of the world and tolerance. So it was you know, it was a journey, but you know, all of the pieces felt right. Like when we look back on it, we go, it all happened in the stages it meant to, because maybe it wasn't supposed to happen then, when we were disappointed that it didn't happen right away, you know. And it was a joyous experience all the
way. Yeah, lucky for us, the world got less tolerant, and so the show has more resonance than ever.
Totally.
I hate to laugh at that, because it is very accurate that the world is getting less tolerant, but I agree. I'm glad that the show exists so there is some light and people can see themselves. As someone who loves to talk about process in general, but the process of creating shows in particular, you mentioned that the show didn't change too much from the beginning to where it is now, but can you speak a little about what did change or what might have been unique about this show in particular in its process?
Well, I should clarify that. It didn't change structurally. Like, we sort of saw the show as a two-act musical fairly early on. But of course, all the component parts changed. And most importantly, I think Casey would agree, it was sort of the tone that was the hard thing to capture, that we really didn't get the tone of the show until Atlanta, when we did our Out of Town and we sort of started to hear it.
Yeah,
go ahead, Case.
I was going to say, even Atlanta is what made us realize what the tone shouldn't be, you know, which is what happened was, it was this show of the two worlds of, you know, Indiana and Broadway. And it was sort of done like in the Broadway box. Mm-hmm. And then we realized that it needed to be done more in the Indiana box, with Broadway invading it. And that's what changed tone-wise, is we wanted to make sure that the world we were going into was almost a play, and that their vocabulary was not of the same thing as the celebrities' vocabulary, and that they invaded them. And that's what I think changed the most, right? When we all sort of realized that, we're like, oh my gosh. And then the music tones, the music sort of changed a little bit, and in feel, it was, yeah, that's to me when it all turned around. But Atlanta was, as always, so helpful.
You know, I hadn't really thought about it before, but it's similar to Drowsy, right? Because we, you know, Drowsy was this big overblown Broadway musical invading a dreary New York apartment.
Yeah.
And this is also a sort of musical imposing itself on this on this very real and recognizable town. That's really the adjustment we made, was to make not to be a town full of cartoon villains or anything, but to be a town full of real recognizable people. You can understand their point of view, and that juxtaposition of sort of overblown characters and very grounded characters is what made the show start to work.
Yeah, I guess I never really quite thought of it, but in a way, it's the eye for the audience is watching it from the Indiana people's point of view, you know, and then when it starts melding, then they're watching it everyone's point of view, because everyone's sort of integrating.
That's really interesting. Do you think that's why, I mean, I think the answer is yes, but I'm going to ask this question anyway. Do you think that's why it's now, as you were saying earlier, going into high schools and kind of seeping into the rest of the country as a show that should be put on and that people should see at all ages?
I hope that there's a number of reasons it's going in. I think it's a great ensemble show. Like, it's everybody gets a turn, has a good track. It's a very funny show. It's a very moving show. But yeah, I believe that the way it handles the politics of the issues is fairly, I mean, obviously we have a very clear point of view about the subject matter and the sort of tragedy within the show. but we try to create characters that you could empathize with and understand. So I don't think it's a heavy-handed show. The reason it is, I think, a little bit more even is because we accepted so much input from the performers we were working with, and using our own stories in some cases, particularly Chad Beglin, also audience input in Atlanta, that a lot of people we talked to after previews and got, you know, a lot of people who came to the show were in a similar situation to the parents in the prom. And so that was sort of invaluable. So I hope that's why it's people are excited to do it. A number of reasons.
Yeah, it feels like so many people have something to relate to, you know, and like, I mean, I know Bob has his stories from like the talkbacks, and which were totally moving to me. And then even like when I would be sitting at intermission at the show, you know, I had one girl that came up to me and said, "I just want you to know, this show means the world to me. I've seen it 3 times, and I'm actually." And then she looked around. She goes, "My dad's here, and I'm coming out to him this weekend." And it was so moving. But a lot of stories like that with the show, or an older woman who went up to Bob at the talkback and with tears saying, "I was Mrs. Green," which is the character that is sort of, you know, won't allow her daughter to go with the other gay girl. And so it's a, you know, it's really moving. It's really moving.
Yeah, I also remember a young lesbian woman coming up and, or I, now that I think of it, I'm not sure if it was on a social media sort of feedback thing or we saw her in person, but she talked about the song "You Happened" and how she was so thrilled to see that that being in love is the best thing, you know, finding a, you know, same-sex partner is the best thing that could happen to you in life, as opposed to most sort of representations of same-sex relationships as being problematic for the characters within the show. It's the best thing that's in their lives. And that was like something that they that really had meaning for us.
This is also fascinating to hear, not because I don't believe that it's real, but I just live in a different world, having been born and raised in New York City and now living in Los Angeles. What's moving about the show is, for me, is that people are finally able to see themselves, like you've been saying, and they're, unfortunately, in the year of 2022, there are not always representation available for people to see themselves. So it's, I think it's really important that this exists. And in speaking about that, I've learned that the show is based somewhat on a real incident. And what was it like kind of tackling adding comedy moments? You know, Brooks is so funny and amazing. And that's my, whenever I know he's in a show, I'm like, ah, joy, light. What is it like bringing yeah. that comedy into such a hard topic to tackle with a lot of teens dealing with still not being able to be their true selves in a high school situation?
Well, again, I think we think of comedy as the sort of vehicle for the message. It makes it much more palatable to have, as opposed to a lecture. We didn't intend to write a lecture. So yeah, it makes the whole thing much easier to, you know, consume. It's a way of, you know what I mean? It's a way of getting these things that are uncomfortable for people to getting them out to a wider audience, because the show itself is entertaining.
Yeah. And you're laughing when you're actually also thinking about it, you know, as opposed to being told what you should be thinking, you know. And I think that's what's important. And I think that's what with what Bob and Chad do so well, because I don't think we shy away from anything. I think we're hitting it full on, but we're not preaching at people, and we're not telling people exactly how they need to feel about it, or feel right or wrong or good or bad. You know, and that's what I love about it, because all of the comedy is based on character and on situation. So, you know, you can, you know, I feel like there needs to be more humor, period, everywhere, because it is how you can get through things, and it is how you can get your point across, and people still will think it, and they might actually, it might actually even resonate more than being talked to in a certain way.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway,
The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
This show has made history with the first LGBTQ plus kiss ever shown in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. How does that make you feel?
Amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. I mean, that is one of the moments I will seriously never forget in my life. We were at the rehearsal at Macy's outside the night before, because, you know, you rehearse it in the evening and stuff. And, you know, I was like spacing the number and doing that stuff. And then I was looking at the monitor. And as we were getting ready to have the kiss happen, I just was like, oh, my God. Like, it just hit me. And I just got so emotional and just started crying. Mm-hmm. Because it's huge. But, you know, we don't think of it as a huge deal day to day in New York City. And I just sort of started thinking about what it would be like with so many people seeing it. And mostly so many people that, like you said, just representationally haven't been able to see that. You know, there was lots of negative stuff too, but there always will be. But overall, I just think it was a really cool thing. And, you know, and I was like, well, someone's going to cut that, and they didn't. And hats off to them. You know, seriously, hats off to them.
I remember that. I remember beforehand saying, well, they're not going to cut this. We're not going to let them cut this. They never intended
to
cut it.
They never mentioned it.
No, they never mentioned it. They won my business forever.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, they were wonderful.
Macy's gift cards for everyone.
I remember watching it, and because I love a good Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Santa is my favorite. And I remember watching it. Yeah, it's just, it was really beautiful to see. And I am glad the world got to see it. And so as one of the most entertaining shows to hit Broadway, because I agree that joy is needed, even when you're telling a story that's very important. What do you think makes this show work so well?
I mean, to me, I think that when you take two different worlds and put them together and have them be able to coexist by the end, I think that's always a good thing, you know? And also, I think I can speak for all of us, our favorite thing to do, and Bob and I certainly have done this many times in shows now, is have people laughing their butts off and then suddenly going like, wait, how did I get these tears in my eyes? You know, that all of a sudden you're totally moved and your eyes are welling up, but it was a sneak attack. It didn't say we're going to make you cry. You know, because someone says, I'm going to make you cry. And I'm like, oh, yeah, just do it. You know, cry. But when you don't expect it coming and you realize you're so invested in the characters and the story and the things you can relate to as an audience member, then you know you succeeded, you know. And when people say, I really needed that today, tonight, I didn't know what to expect from this show. And it was so, so good and so moving and important to see.
I also think, you know, I worked on a lot of musicals now over the years, and it really comes down to the score. And I think Matt and Chad just wrote a great score. I mean, that's part of it. That's what makes it soar for us. I mean, there's a sort of run of songs in that second act that just tear your heart out one after the other. Barry's Going to the Prom and Unruly Heart. And I think the score is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Yay, Chad totally. And Matt.
Totally. And, you know, too, you think about those songs, not Unruly Heart, but you think about Barry's Going to Prom, and you think about The Ladies Improving. And these are songs that are making you so emotional, and you're also laughing at the same time because you already love the characters. So you're laughing with the characters while it's happening and while they're discovering how moved they are or how they're going to change or whatever, you know, the story in the number is.
I have so many questions, and I know we don't have a lot of time, so I'm trying to kind of filter my brain down. Are there things that you both like to bring to a show when you first start working on it that you very much brought to the Prom and are happy that are still in it?
I think this is something that Casey and I both really believe in, is that sense of creating a show that's fun to perform every night for the performers, right? Yeah. It's that creating that ensemble comedy is something that we're really in tune about, I think. We were both performers at one time. Yeah. Maybe that's it. We know what it's like to run a show every night, and you wanna make it a fun evening for the performer as well as the audience.
And also to be able to create it around the people that you hire, you know, that Brooks, you're like, okay, we have to make sure this is the best role for Brooks. We have to make sure, you know, and Brooks will make sure it's the best role for Brooks in the best way ever. And Beth too, and Chris Sieber and Angie, you know, that it just fit them all like a glove.
Mm-hmm. Particularly
we Taylor, you know, we were, yeah, that was like, okay, what should we make this role? You know, we need someone sort of like Angie. Well, why don't we make it Angie? Why don't we call her Angie? Who should play it? And, you know, it took us a while to get the show going. And Angie was like, will you hurry it up before I start reading in the paper that they're looking for a young Angie Schwarer type?
As an Angelino implant, what can LA audiences expect to get out of this show?
Well, I think the things that we, you know, that we planned on audiences getting even in New York and even at the Alliance. And then when we staged the tour, I mean, the cast is fantastic in the tour. They're absolutely wonderful. And they all got their roles so beautifully. It was really mm-hmm. a joy to work on. And also, you know, we said it right after the pandemic or almost after the pandemic, or is the pandemic done? You know, but basically, it was one of the first shows that I worked on coming back after that period of time of isolation, and it was just such a joy to work on, and everyone was so happy to be there and so happy to work on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a high energy, funny, moving night at the theater for sure. I think that's what audiences will get at. I think it's also a great family show because it gets you talking about, you know, questions of identity and responsibility in a family situation. But more than that, we don't want to make it sound like it's a super heavy-handed show. It's a very, very funny show. It's a rollicking musical comedy.
It is. And it's a relatable show. It's a relatable, yeah, fun show. And it makes you laugh. It makes you cry. It makes you happy to be with people that you're with. It makes you think about how you may have treated someone in the past, or that you're happy that, you know, about your family or your child who, you know, who is gay. You know, that's all pretty awesome.
And I think people in Los Angeles may be familiar with how shallow celebrities can be. And so there are shallow celebrities in this show. So that's something that's relatable for this local audience.
Correct. That's very apt analysis. If there is one thing that you would want people to walk away from this show with, feeling and thinking, whether it be now or well into the future, what is that one thing?
I mean, you know, for me, because I'm a parent, I know that you can say things or do things with respect to your child and have the best intentions and just really mess them up. See, you know, and that's really what Mrs. Green is doing in this show. She's trying to be the best mother she can be, but by doing so, by really being led by her own fears, she's just kind of making her life, her daughter's life miserable. Mm. So, I mean, I think that's kind of the message for me. I just sort of, as a parent, like, don't be led by your fears and really see who your child is. I think it's that would solve so much pain in the world if you could just look at your child and see who they are. It's a comedy, though. I keep coming back to that.
It is a comedy. You will laugh a lot.
Well, thank you both so much for speaking with me. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy days, I am sure, to chat a little about the prom with us here at Center Theater Group. So thank you so much.
Fantastic. Thank you. It was a joy talking to you.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.